Before the message tonight, I've got a letter here, and sometimes I'm hesitant to read these. I don't want to embarrass the person who sent them, and I did edit some of this. It's rather lengthy, but we've been preaching all summer on the family, and really what you want is not for anybody to walk in and defend error in their life, but to allow the Lord to correct it, and not to boast of what they have right in their life, but to allow the Lord to strengthen it. And so I want to read you this letter. It's kind of we're coming toward the end of this study. So dear Brother James and the Bible Baptist Church, it's been in my heart to send you this letter to thank you for a while, but I've put it off wondering how in the world I can find the words to convey what my heart so longs to say. So I'll just do my best to verbalize and leave the rest to the Lord to bless, because I can no longer ignore the fact that I owe you all a huge debt of gratitude, with deepest thank you from my soul, with all of my heart, with all sincerity. Thank you for being bold enough to preach the Word of God, its precious truths, and doing so without apology and whether people like it or not. Thank you for upholding the Word of God in a world filled with those who claim to love the Lord, who still seek every single opportunity available to compromise, water down, and ignore the precepts that the precious Word of God contains so as not to offend others. She tells of being raised in church and being in the ministry, and yet overly influenced by the lingering influence of the misconduct of ungodly parents, and then being afflicted by debilitating migraine headaches. That was all in part of the letter. As I sat there day after day, completely unable to really do anything else, my mind was honestly just bored. I was tired of lying down. One could only sleep so much. I couldn't stand even to watch television as a distraction because of the lights. So I resolved myself to just listen to preaching. My precious husband had come across the Bible Baptist Church and their YouTube page long ago. While I ignored most things there, I was like, well, there's nothing else to do. I may as well listen. Now, I could lie and tell you that I loved every sermon, but that simply wasn't true. The spirit that was cultivated in me, honestly, rejected a lot of the teachings because it sounded hateful and unkind. There were days I had to shut it off because it had cut so deep into my heart, and I didn't like that for sure. But there in the darkness of my spiritual heart and the darkness of my physical room, God began to shine the light of His Word into my life. Ever brighter, increasingly day by day, I'm just there, pretty much captive in this sick bed. And the truths of God's Word were preached without apology, without doubt, without ever missing a beat, just over and over and over. His Word poured into my heart, mind, and life. And through that preaching, I began to see the truth about God's Word in ways I had never had before. God helped me to begin to understand the deep spiritual lack I truly had. In my heart, I thought I would never give up my modern version because the KJV is too hard to understand. What? Holidays are pagan? No way. I wouldn't ever give up my precious memories and holidays, and so forth and so on. But over time, God began to ever so gently erode my delusions with the truth of His Word as it washed over my heart and mind, cleansing away the lies. Day after day spent listening to countless sermons this church worked tirelessly to provide. All the while, the people there have not the slightest clue of even knowing the profound effect they were having on my life. I surrendered to the Lord. I began using the Holy Bible. That was the first of my many victories in my life as I surrendered them one by one. One by one, the strongholds of this world that had a choking grip on me fell to the truths of God's Word. The delusion fog began to be lifted, and chain by chain, God's Word worked to free me from the bondage of so many things I didn't even know had such a profound hold on me. The Jezebel's daughter my mother had raised is disappearing. I cannot wait until she's completely gone. I am daily being sobered up from worldly humanistic philosophy and doctrines and have begun to truly enjoy the pleasure of living a biblical Christian life. All the petty things are totally history for us. They no longer have control over me. and to serve them with their wasteful celebrations, the silly traditions and sentiment of the world. I've traded my pants in for skirts, as have the other ladies in our home, and so much more. The Lord has even helped to decrease the frequency and severity of my migraines. Our family has been blessed to have the majority of your collection of books and CDs and amazing resources your church has made available, which my whole family is working through as we study God's Word with a hunger I've never seen in all of us before. I'm saving up to get complete verse-by-verse compilation sermon series. I can't wait to get them so I can start adding them to what I learn in my own studies through them. To say we appreciate your church is such an understatement. So we will just pray that God will bless you as richly as possible. I truly hope this testimony offers some sort of encouragement to the fact that not all of us backsliding heifers out here will always ignore the truths of God's Word forever. And that His Word is ever so faithful to never return void. Please keep sending it out. Thank you for fighting the good fight, running this race to show others like me how it's done. God bless you all. I'll continue to thank Him for you always. Know that you've helped me at least to truly begin joining you in this race as we seek to spread the good news, equip the church, and minister to others. I truly thank the Lord for you all. So, praise the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. You know, you got to see where you are in light of the Bible, then you got to be honest about it. Amen. I knew a guy, he joined Hypochondriacs Anonymous. They said the first step to getting better is admitting you don't have a problem. But for everybody else, I mean, if you're not saved, the first thing you got to do is admit you're not saved. And if you don't have the power of God in your life, first thing you got to do is admit you don't have the power of God in your life. And we're going to talk about that tonight, not directly, but our message tonight. I got a really good message for you Sunday morning. It's on spirit-filled relationships. But tonight, the message is called Home Wreckers and Societal Ruin. Home Wreckers and Societal Ruin. So any of you that were wondering how to wreck your home, you will learn how to do that tonight. That's right here in the Bible. Let's pray, Father. Thank you. This lady, and God, we truly pray that she represents many, many people out there that we don't know and will ever meet. I thank you, God, that your word will not return unto you void. It might not come back our way, but you said it wouldn't return unto you void, and we thank you for that. Please bless the preaching of your word tonight, in Jesus' name, and amen. Isaiah chapter number 3, things that will wreck a home, and if you wreck enough homes, you'll wreck the city. If you wreck enough cities, you'll wreck the nation. Right. Isaiah chapter number 3. And verse number 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. God in His wisdom, God in His love and grace established an order. The head of every man is Christ. If you violate that order, nothing's going to work right. The head of every woman is the man. Oh, you even say that today. Oh, how dare you? Well, how dare I? I trust God. I believe the Word of God. And you violate that order, you got a problem. And the head of every child is the parent. Now, God set that up. I think God's ways are better than my ways. I think God's wisdom is superior to my wisdom. I think God's knowledge is superior to my knowledge. And you live in a society where teachers can't teach because they're not allowed to bring children under control. You live in a society where mothers and fathers have yielded power and authority and control of their home to their children, and it's a total disaster. God said, children are their oppressors. If you allow a child to run your home, it will harm you and your home. If you allow a child to run your town, it'll harm you and your town. And I'm going to tell you in a minute, because the next step is how we got here. But you're telling me that in a town the size of ours, with all of these men, and all of these military veterans, and all of these weightlifters, and all of these hunters, and you know, good old boys, you're telling me you can't bring a gang of rebel teenagers under control? Something's messed up. We got a problem in our cities with gangs. You could fix that overnight if your men were allowed to be men. If your society was governed by manly principles ordained by God. Now, what happens? What's next step here? Women rule over them. Women rule over them. When there's not a man in the home to rule it, the home's already out of order. This society, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but a society that glorifies single mothers is dooming the children of those mothers. It's dooming the society. And women, supposedly, I mean, Bible, gracious, merciful, kind, gentle, soft, tender. Well, you're going to raise boys. You better have a man there to balance all that soft and tender and gentle. You're going to end up with a bunch of effeminate, wimpy men who don't... Amen. I'm not going to use any of the words you're not allowed to use. I'm going to use Bible words. But God says there's a spiritual problem when a man is effeminate. And it's hard to raise a man who's not effeminate when there's no masculine presence in his home. That's a fact. Now, when there is a man in the home, that doesn't guarantee there's a masculine presence. It just guarantees there's a biological male there. Because if that man is told to sit down and shut up and don't rebuke the kids and don't discipline the kids and don't be mean to the kids and don't yell at the kids and there you go again, they're not going to like us, then you may as well not have a man there. When I'm just giving you the Bible. The Lord says, If the woman governs the man instead of the man governing the woman, the home's not going to work. Now, what's wrong in your country? Listen, bless your heart. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The more women judges you get, the more crime you're going to have. The more women legislators you get, the more soft on crime legislation you're going to get. The more women congressmen and senators you get, just count on losing wars. You got to do stuff to win wars that isn't in the heart of women to do. That's not a knock on women. That's just a fact. You got to do things to control crime and violence and perversion and devilment in a city that's not in the heart of women. Hey, it's just not fair. The poor little boy, he didn't have a chance. He came from a bad background. I know he killed somebody, but it's not really his fault. Let's give him a suspended sentence. You don't get that from men. You get that from women or from men who are afraid they're going to lose the women's votes. Amen. And I'm telling you, this mega church movement wouldn't have got started without the women preachers. You get mad at me if you want. I don't care. Well, I do care, but I don't care enough to not preach the truth. I wish you wouldn't get mad at me. But Joyce Meyer got no business in a pulpit. And Marilyn Hickey and all the rest of them. What I don't even know their names. What are some of them you watch, Dave? What are some of them? Paula White, yeah, Trump's advisor, Paula White. You got a woman pastor for an advisor. That explained why he says he's trying to work his way to heaven by settling peace treaties and stuff. Listen. When women run your cabinet and your judiciary and your Congress and your churches and your living rooms, the thing's going to be a disaster. Not because women aren't smart and aren't saved and aren't loving and aren't kind and aren't washed in the blood and aren't as smart as men and sometimes smarter. It's because it's defying God.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
We'll not have God tell us what to do. It's not going to work.
Amen. Right.
It's not going to work. So we would have needed a bigger building than that one a long time ago. If I wouldn't tell the truth right here. But this is the truth. It's the truth because God said it. All right, Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs 30, for anybody still here. Numbers really dropped on the live stream attendance, but that's okay. Numbers chapter 30 and Proverbs number 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father. It's just wrong. Just wrong. I don't care if your daddy was a reprobate. God said, honor thy father.
Amen.
I don't care if your dad was good for you. You don't have to obey him if you're a grown man. You don't have to walk in his steps if you're saved and he's unsaved. But this idea that everybody's got to go online and go on TV and go to church and badmouth their parents, it's not godly.
Amen.
You had a bad father? Move on. Forget about it. Send him a birthday card. Call him up on a holiday. Don't go around cursing him and bad-mouthing him.
Amen.
Amen. And doth not bless their mother. Is my mother good for nothing? Well, bless her anyway. You were good for nothing. God blessed you. You did a million things wrong. God sent blessings on your life every single day. It's not about how your daddy acted or how your mother acted. It's about how God expects you to act. We got a whole generation of miserable, unhappy, depressed, medicated, angry women, and they're blaming it on their dad and blaming it on their mom. Your dad's dead. You haven't spoken to your mother in 10 years. They can't be the reason you're so unhappy. You're the reason you're so unhappy. Get right with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all are so spoiled because you got to grow up in a Baptist church where the Bible is taught. You know something, a Muslim gets saved, they can't look back and say, well, dear old dad brought me to Christ. Hindu gets saved, a Buddhist gets saved, an atheist gets saved, drunkard gets saved. Everybody didn't have a great dad, everybody didn't have a great mom, but when a generation focuses on the failures of their parents, real or imagined, and the shortcomings of their parents, real or imagined, you will have a spiritual problem. You'll never have a good marriage moping about how your dad treated you and how your mom treated you. You got a husband now, love him. You got a wife now, love her. Get saved, get right with God, get over it. Praise the Lord. People 60 years old, well, my dad, you left your dad's home when you were 18. Count it up. 42 years ago. 18 years with your dad, 42 years without him. Why are you acting like he's still running your life? Amen. There's a generation that curseth their father and not bless their mother. I'm just shocked. I guess I'm so old now, and I'm just out of touch with reality, I guess. But it still unnerves me when I see kids in a store mouthing off at their mother. When I see boys and girls back-talking their parents. When I see kids on airplanes and in shopping centers and in church speaking rudely and disrespectfully to their parents. I'll tear your home up. You're going to wreck your home. Yeah, amen. That's good preaching, brother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. You don't believe it? Try witnessing to them. I'm good. I'm good. You know, the Bible says all have sinned. How dare you call me a sinner? You ever told a lie? No. Honestly. People aren't getting saved. They say, well, you know, we're not preaching the gospel well enough. We're not trying hard enough. We just need to knock on more doors and give out more gospel tracts. Listen, people used to get saved because they knew they were a sinner. And when you showed them what God did to sinners, they got concerned and repented. Today, people aren't getting saved because they don't think they've done anything wrong. They are so pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. Can I have a second on that? A second on it. Listen to me. If a man who grew up respecting his father and mother and went off and fought in a war and came home and earned a living and provided for his family and then retired on his own money, not on money stolen from working people, if that man needed to repent and get right with God and would come to an altar with tears and ask God to forgive him, what are we supposed to do with these people that are absolute, genuine, off-the-charts perverts marching down the streets in parades celebrating their iniquity? How are you going to get people saved in a generation like this? We're going to keep giving out tracts. We're going to keep knocking on doors. We're going to keep having prayer meetings. We're going to keep preaching on the street. We're going to preach on the radio and on the internet. We're going to do everything we can to get people saved. But somebody who can do the things people in this society are doing and think they're pure and clean and virtuous, you are so far from seeing those people get saved, it will take the overwhelming, convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God not to save them, just to convince them of sin.
Amen.
You guys work out there in that world? You work with anybody who feels bad about how they're living? You work with anybody who feels guilty about what they're doing? If you do, it's a rare case. You know, people used to be ashamed. If you found out they were living together, they weren't married, they're ashamed of it. If you found out they're having a child, they weren't married, they were ashamed of it. You found out their marriage was busting up, they're ashamed of it. Now you got men walking down the street with their husband and women walking down the street with their wife and their children, boys wearing dresses and if you say there's something wrong with it, the whole news media is against you. The whole social media is against you. The whole neighborhood's against you. If not in a rare case like some of us, your whole family's against you. You get away from this Bible, it'll wreck your home. You won't even know what a home is anymore. Verse number 13, there's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. Everybody's a superstar. Really? Everybody's the greatest. When there's a whole shelf of mugs that say world's number one dad, how come it's not number two and number three and number four and number 27? Everybody's the world's greatest dad. Everybody's the best mom ever. We need to get over ourselves. But this society, man, you know what Satan, you know what his problem was? He thought he was as good as God or better. You know what your society's problem is? Everybody thinks they're as good as God or better. I was behind this car the other day. I don't know how it was running, but it was. I don't know what was holding it together. It was hanging together. And it, hardly any paint left on it. Hardly any tread left on the tires. The windows were down, so you know the AC wasn't working in it. And on the back was a sticker, "I'm a goddess." I mean, even your fairy tales used to turn pumpkins into carriages and stuff, you know? Now you can just be a slob driving a piece of junk and go into a dirty apartment and believe you're a goddess. Isn't it amazing? He's a drag queen. No, he's a drag maid. Everybody's a queen. Everybody's a king. Everybody's the greatest. Wreck your home. That kid thinks he's greater than dad. That woman thinks she's greater than her husband. That man thinks he's greater than his family. Everybody there thinks they're too great to go to church and too great to listen to a preacher. It's just shot. The whole thing's shot. Everybody's so proud. They're so haughty. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Look, I don't care if you like it or don't like it, if you're for it or not for it. I don't care what your position is on it. But when you have to bring in the National Guard so people can go to the grocery store without getting stabbed or shot or raped or carjacked, somebody needs to go back to church. Somebody needs to go to a church and hear some preaching. Somebody needs to open up the Word of God and tell sinners they're sinners and call on them to repent like God called all men everywhere to repent. I mean, you live in a society where stabbing is nothing. It's got to be a number of people stabbed, and shooting is nothing. It's got to be a mass shooting, and a murder doesn't even make the news. It's got to be a bunch of people get murdered. How far gone is this thing? Well, I don't know how we fix this problem. I'll tell you, fix the problem. Man gets saved, a woman gets saved, they get married, they have kids they can afford to raise, they raise them in church under the preaching of the Bible, and they live in the fear of God according to the Word of God, and apart from that, it ain't gonna get fixed. Nothing's gonna fix it. You can throw all the money in the world at it. You can print money. You can put your country $50 trillion in debt throwing money at sin. The only thing going to fix sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, and it's not being talked about.
Amen. That's right.
Verse 15, the horse leech, it's a bloodsucker, it's a parasite, had two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. You got 5 and 6 generation parasites in your town, and no matter how much free stuff you give them, they're not satisfied. They want more. You know how you get there? People don't believe the Bible. Bible says if man doesn't work, don't feed him. Well, we got to feed them. They're hungry. There's a solution to that. Work. They can't find a job. Well, get off the dope.
Yes, sir.
Well, they didn't have an education. They had 13 years free. All they had to do is use it. But you're supposed to feel bad because you went to school and you didn't become a drug addict and you got a job and you got saved and you lived by the Bible. And now people say, what are we going to do about our children? I did what I was supposed to do about my children. You talk about your children. Don't ask me what you're going to do with your children. Those are my children. How are we going to solve the problem in our neighborhoods? I don't have a neighborhood. It's your neighborhood. You fix your own neighborhood. You live in a society that's trying to make the people feel guilty who aren't guilty, because they dare entertain the thought that some people might be in a mess because they're in rebellion against the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's not politics. It's the Bible. I'm preaching politics. I'm preaching a Bible. That horse can only take so many leeches before all the blood's drained out of it and it dies. And a society can only take so many leeches before all the blood's drained out of it and it dies. And where does it start? The man won't work outside the home. The woman won't work in the home. The children aren't taught to work around the house. It's a fact. It's across. The Lord says it's a generation. He didn't say there's one here, one there. Used to be one here, one there. Now, it's a generation across the board. Free housing, free medicine, free doctor visits, free breakfast, free lunch, free school, free ride to school, free ride home from school, free ride to store after you get home from school, free cell phone, free internet, free cable. I don't get none of that stuff for free. Never have. Never have. Well, how do these people get it all for free? They take it from people like me. and give it to the horse leeches. And you know what happens? After a while, the people that work say, I'm not working so hard. I'm not going to put in all those hours. I'm not going to make all that money. Because they're just going to take it from me and give it to these other people. And then the whole thing just starts collapsing. The whole thing starts eroding and crumbling. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good preaching. All right. Proverbs chapter 23. Things that will wreck a home. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to everybody. I tell you what, wreck your home sipping that wine. You say, I'm not a drunkard. As long as you drink in moderation. God, before God got to the drunkard, he started with the wine bibber. Because you don't get drunk until you bib. Before you spilled it on your bib, you were bibbing it. Amen. I just agree with God, and all I got to do is look around. I've been alive almost 7 decades. I've been in the ministry 5 decades. You take everything else combined, liquor has ruined more lives. Liquor has wrecked more homes. Liquor has damaged more marriages. Liquor has caused more men to harm their boys, caused more men to molest their daughters than anything else on the face of this earth. God said, you better do whatever you got to do. Get your heart away from wine bibbing and get your heart away from walking in that path. Amen. Hanging out with those people. Amen. Amen. Best way to not drink is don't hang out with anybody that does. Yeah. Best way to keep your kids from drinking, don't take them and hang out with any people that are drinking. Don't have any people that drink in your house. Yes. Best way to do it. So I wouldn't bring anybody in my house that's drinking. How many ads they've seen with people drinking in your living room? I'd bring that stuff in there. Dad's unhappy, mom's unhappy. They look on the TV, there's people drinking, they're happy. I wouldn't start my kids that way. I wouldn't send them that way. Among riotous eaters of flesh, the drunkard and the glutton should come to poverty. Right there side by side, Brother Kyle. Right there side. You know what that is? It's uncontrolled lust.
Yes, sir.
It's uncontrolled lust. Reel it in. Better reel it in. One lust will hurt you as quick as another. Some of you go on a mission trip. You'll notice a difference when you go to another country. There aren't as many XXL shirts. And when you get back from a week or two in another country, you get off the plane, you'll say, what is going on here? I'm not a dietitian. I'm not going to argue with you about diet plans and what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. I'm just telling you that you ought to, there ought to be a limit on it. Because it'll hurt you. It'll hurt you. Where you get that? Well, keep reading. Knew this wasn't going to go well. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Here we go. Verse 21. For the drunk of the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you're drinking, you're not engaged in profitable activity. If you're engaged in gluttony, you're not engaged in profitable activity. And even if you're not a horse leech, a parasite, if you spend enough time drinking, if you spend enough time with the gluttony, it's going to decrease the work time, the productivity time, the income time, and one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I am broke. How to get broke? Because liquor's expensive. How to get broke? Because food's expensive. And you got to learn to moderate. You got to learn to control yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you boys and girls, we're about to start another semester of Bible school here, and things are going to get tight. You're going to need gas money, and you're going to need rent money, and it's going to get close, and you're going to come and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm really having trouble with my finances." And then I'm going to find out you're eating out 6 days a week. That ain't cheap. You can eat sandwiches for a week on one eat-out meal. Well, it's quick, it's ready, it's fun. It don't take long to make a sandwich, honestly. You can make it as fast as the kid your age on the other side of the counter is making it. Well, we just like to hang out with our friends. Hang out right. You got a yard here, you got a yard there, you got a... I'm just telling you, you're developing habits that are going to empty your pockets. All that stuff's expensive. Well, we want to go out and have a good time. I don't know what it costs to see a movie because I hadn't been to a theater in decades. But it's just amazing to me. People got a computer, internet, cell phone. There's like 7 million movies you can watch for free. I'm not recommending it. What are you going to a theater? Why are you going to a theater spending money to see a movie? I don't get it. What's on a bigger screen? Put your phone closer. We live in a, honestly, we just, it's across the board. People, I'm going to go ahead and say, food's expensive. And when you throw half of it in the garbage, you know, grocery, I spent $40 on groceries. Yeah, and 20 of it you set on fire. You didn't even eat it. My mother, my wife, make a pot of soup, and you eat that on Monday, and you did it on Tuesday, and you did it on Wednesday, and if it was a big enough pot, you'd have it for lunch on Thursday. It was the same thing all over again. Go everywhere else in the world and eat rice every day of your life. I'm like leftovers. You're a leftover. You want people to like you, don't you? I was telling you, our country complains about how much stuff costs, but they're wasteful. And they talk about how expensive things are, but they overindulge. And just do you well to dial some things back. I think I need some new clothes. You might want some new clothes. Not many of us need some new clothes. Unless you hearken to Brother Kyle's preaching and nothing fits. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Do I want a woe in my... I don't want a woe house. Who hath sorrow? I don't want a sorrowful marriage. Who hath contentions? I don't want to fight every time I come through the house. Who hath babbling? I don't want to lose my ability to speak properly and clearly. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? That's a bad list of things. They that tarry long at the wine, that go to seek mixed wine. Why would you give 1 hour of your life to something that causes woe, sorrow, contention, babbling, unnecessary wounds, and messes up your vision? Well, as long as you drink... Okay, you want just a little woe. You want moderation sorrow. You want contentions and wounds as long as it doesn't get that bad. That's bad thinking. Well, but James, I've heard you say people shouldn't drink at all. And I found a verse one time, and it looks like, oh, look, here's what God said. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself. God said if it's fermented, don't even look at it. He went farther than don't drink it. He said, don't look at it. Walking through the store, there's the soda pop, and there's the bottled water, and there's the juice, and there's the alcohol. You know what the Lord said? Just turn your eyes away. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Why tempt yourself? Why entice yourself? 32, at the last, well, I've been drinking and it hadn't hurt me. I've been hitting the bottle a little bit. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Why would you say something doesn't end up the way God said it would end up just because you hadn't got to the end of it yet? Boys, I'm just telling you. Well, you know, I went with my friends and we drank and, you know, I threw up, but after that, we had a good time. I got a little bit of a buzz and I don't see where anything bad came of it. The Lord said at the last.
Right.
He said first time you went out drinking, he said at the last.
Right. Yes, sir.
It's a wonder anybody drinks a second time. About eighth grade, you know, if you're in public school, about eighth grade, you're not saved. The older kids invite you to a party, and you say, well, I'm really cool. I got invited to the senior high school kids' party. I'm going to go out, and you go out some kids', you know, farm or field, and there's a bonfire there, and they got Ripple from the 7-Eleven. Whoo! I mean, you think one swig of that and you'd be done with drinking for your life. And then you're on your hands and knees, you know, throwing up and everybody's laughing at you and making fun of you. And then you get drunk and pass out and people, now you probably get a tattoo. Now they just paint stuff on your face, you know, and write on you and all that. And he's, oh, that was great. I'm going to do that again next weekend. People are, they're not brilliant. You know what the Lord said? It starts with puking and shame and humiliation, and you think it's going to get better from there? You think this is an uphill path? Come on. And with all the ruin wrought by liquor, you'd have to search far and wide to find anybody but this old man and a few of his friends that still preach against it. And that's a shame.
Yes, sir.
That's a shame. Bible says in verse number, hang in there, we're getting here. Verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. So bars have ladies' night, which is the most false advertising ever, because there ain't no ladies responding to those advertisements. And the reason they give the ladies the free drinks is to get the men to come in and drink. And the reason the women go to the places where the drinking's going on is because after the man's had a few drinks, all of a sudden they start looking way better than they looked when they left home. I'm not trying to be cheap. I'm not trying to be dirty. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. And sir, if you got to get drunk to sin with that woman, that ain't a woman you want to be sinning with. Not that you want to sin anyway. And sis, you want to leave here and go out in that world and go to a place where they're offering you drinks because we just like to have the girls here. You're wrong. Habakkuk 2:15 says they are giving you booze so you'll take your clothes off. That's what the Bible says. That's the reason. That's the reason. So somebody's going to say it. I'm going to say it. So you married, you ought to get the liquor out of your life and out of your home. You got children, you ought to double get the liquor out of your life and out of your home, and you got friends that drink, you need to get some different friends because you don't want your children going down that road. I'm going to say something. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. I'm going to tell you something. He'd be ashamed of me saying this now, but I don't know if he was saved at the time. But my father, there's pictures of my father when after he got married, 1956, 1957, the year I was born, 1958. Not a lot of them. You know, some of y'all take more pictures in a day now. My family took in their entire lifetime. Back you had real pictures and developed all. Anyway, cigarette in one hand, beer in the other. Backyard barbecue, cigarette in one hand, beer in it. Just a bunch of good old boys, veterans, you know, young men in their 20s, manly men. And one day, my father said to my mother, I do not want James to grow up and be a drinker. And he never took another drink of alcohol in his life. Thank God. Thank God, far from those pictures, I was too young to remember him. Never saw my father with alcohol in his hand. Never saw my father with a cigarette in his hand. He didn't give those up for Jesus. He gave them up for me. What a blessing. You love your wife, you love your kids. Give up your sin so they don't walk in it. Give up your habits so they don't get hold of the people you love the most. So I can't give it up. You can give it up. Yeah. If you're a smoker, you haven't smoked in in an hour and 20 minutes. You can do it. Oh, you know, I just got to have a drink. You haven't had to have a drink since you left the home. Left home, come church. You can do it.
Yeah.
You might not be able to do it for 40 years. You can do it for an hour at a time. You've proven you can go an hour without drinking, an hour without smoking, an hour without dope. You can do it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, with you preaching. Well, it's on you. You play it 24 hours a day. That's what it takes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. One fellow told me one time, he said, I've tried everything. I just can't quit smoking. You got any suggestions? I said, yeah, just put the lid in your mouth and suck on it. Do that two or three times. That'll turn you off. My dad got me to quit before I started. He used the belt.
Yeah.
Try a belt. Got a bunch of men in here. Just say, how about take that belt off and whip me until I quit smoking? Yeah. Chapter 17, one more thing, it'll wreck a home, and it's wrecked many of them. I don't want to wreck any of yours. Luke chapter 17. I like preaching on these things. It doesn't bother me, because I know the Lord can deliver every one of us from them. I know the Lord's better. Maybe some of y'all wonder about this. So I'm just going to tell you. I got saved in December 1976, and I haven't had alcohol since. Haven't had dope since. Haven't had marijuana since. Haven't had cigarettes since. And not one time I've ever said, my life would be so much better if I could just do those things. I never said that. I would just want Jesus to take its place. And you give it up, Jesus take its place, you just got an empty house swept and garnished and an unclean spirit. Gave up, you won't miss it. You won't miss it. All right, Luke 17. Here's the last one. Talk about second coming. For as the light shineth out of the one part under heaven and shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. First must he suffer many things, be rejected this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah. Watch carefully. So should it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, not a sin. They drank, not a sin. They married wives, not a sin. They were given in marriage, not a sin. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as was in the days of Lot. They did eat, not a sin. They drank, not a sin. They bought, not a sin. They sold, not a sin. They planted, not a sin. They builded, not a sin. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Here's the fourth thing in my outline that wrecks homes and ruins a society. It's morality without faith. morality without faith. Everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah was not a pervert. If you read what Jesus said about those days, most of them just living just like you are. Everybody in Lot's day wasn't in Noah's day wasn't a killer. Read what Jesus said about those days, they were living just like you are. But somewhere along the way, 45 years ago now, 50 years ago now, somewhere along the way, the preachers in America traded Bible righteousness for values. You know what that is? That's you just picking what you think is good. I'm good. Who says you're good? I do. Well, you need to live right. I am living right. Look, everybody's got morals. Charles Manson had morals. Joseph Stalin had morals. Morals isn't what God calls for. Being good isn't what God calls for. It's being right with God through Jesus Christ. And the bad people in our society, we talked about in these other verses, they're a problem. But so are the good people who are trying to live good, decent, moral lives and have good, decent, moral homes and just leaving Jesus Christ out of the whole thing. Because without the imputed righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell just like the drunk and just like the sodomite. That's a fact. And preachers used to say, you know, you're a good man and you got a good home and you got good children and you're earning a good living and you got a respectable career. One thing thou lackest. Yep. Yes, sir. You got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Now they say, you're a good man. I'm a good man. You're a good girl. I'm a good girl. I'm a good person. You're a good person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody goes to church and goes to work and goes home and goes to hell. And if all you raise your kids to do is buy and sell and plant and reap and shop and get married and have babies and you don't teach them to love God with all their heart and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and live for the Lord, you have added to the destruction of America through the spiritual destruction of the family. Lord help us. Lord help us. I've got everything that God's for, they're against political party. That's Democrats, by the way. And I've got we're good, decent people other than the drinking and the divorce and the cussing. And we're good, decent people. But I don't hear any of them saying you must be born again. I don't hear any of them saying believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So even the good people in our society, quote unquote, are like the people in Noah's day and Lot's day. They're living good lives, but they've just left God out of it. And that too leads to destruction. Say, preacher, you sound like you're against everything. Just about. Everything I see out there, I'm pretty much against it. Because it doesn't work. You think there'd be enough evidence now that life without the Bible, life contrary to the Word of God, is not the way to build a stable, prosperous, happy society. Certainly not a safe one. Well, amen.
Amen.
So the man's supposed to step up and get right with God. Man's supposed to be the head of his household. Woman's supposed to be the support in that household. Children are supposed to be obedient to their parents. Grown children are supposed to honor their parents. People are supposed to work and own their own living. Supposed to stay away from the vices and the habits and the sins that will take hold of their life and lead them into poverty and spiritual ruin. And make sure you don't leave God out of all that doing good. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for a light to guide our way through a dark and messed up world. Help us, Lord, to trust you and trust your word and live by the Bible, not by the ways of this messed up society in which we find ourselves. And we thank you in Jesus' name and amen.